Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed. Oh.
Everybody has questions that aren't being answered.
Tonight, the third time in a row, we have Ryan from Dangerous World. Ryan, thanks for joining.
Of course, sir. Thanks for having me.
We got Andy from the Deep Share. Andy, what's from up? My new home state of Massachusetts for now.
How's it going, man?
Thanks good, for Andy. Having me. We got Ken from Black Pill Radio.
Yo, what up? Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, my pleasure. And the one and only Miss Janet from Deplorable Nation.
Hello.
Janet.
What's up, Janet?
How's it going?
Good.
Not bad. So we're going to kick this thing off tonight. And in typical Master Debaters fashion, we have no pre-planned agenda. We're just going to let it roll. I know Ryan has something he wants to kick it off with, and we'll go from there.
Dude, I was just saying, like, I liked what we were talking about just before we started recording here, but I did want to talk about a little bit of how, you know, Ken mentioned that everything is becoming corporatized, it seems like, right? All these, you know, conspiracy theorists are starting to seem like they're acting like they're all about free thought, but then, of course, they're doing ad reads, and I'm guilty of that, you know, like, if someone's willing to pay a little bit, like, I'll read the ad, right? But then you start getting people that are just shilling for companies. And the guy that I wanted to bring up was Steve Quayle, who supposedly he almost just passed away, which is tragic anytime something like that goes down, right? I mean, like, both my parents got COVID. They were very sick. This is a weird virus, man. It's a weird thing. I obviously believe that it's a real thing. It's a real flu type situation, but it's a little different because it affects some people massively. And it affects people like not at all in some cases, right? This Steve Quayle dude, who's like kind of an OG prepper, kind of back when prepping was like the Doomsday Prepper TV show. Guys are like shooting their fingers off and passing out, even though they're preparing for the apocalypse and shit like that. It just, you know, these people are just not prepared for the apocalypse, but they're glamorizing it. And this guy, Steve Quayle, got what I believe is COVID, but he was saying that he believes that he was attacked with a specific bioweapon that was going to damage his immune system more than it would people around him. And he was deliberately infected, and it was essentially a hit that was put out on him. And you get people like Mike Adams that are jumping on board, they're interviewing him, they're like, oh, how did it feel to have a hit put on you, a biological weapon? It's like, dude, why can't we just say that we're sick? You know what I mean? Like, we got sick. The dude's old, and he probably just doesn't have the best immune system. He doesn't look like he eats the best food. I mean, he probably just got COVID, and it's affecting him roughly.
And how is he claiming that they got him with this weapon? Was it like in his food, drink, something like that?
If I understand correctly, and this is why I think it's such a problem, is that he thinks that they put it into his air vents in his house. So his wife got sick. And this is a major, major voice in this, like, you know, kind of, I don't like using the term right wing, but like, you know, like the definitely conservative, definitely still backing Trump 100% and all this stuff. But yeah, he thinks that they put some special strain of COVID specifically targeting his immune system and no one else in his air conditioning vents and stuff, man. It's insane. And people actually like fan the flame of that theory, and it's just wild, dude. It's weird. You kind of really start seeing through it when you've just been doing this for a little while, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it makes me think that they put that voice out there and they, you know, kind of advertise a little more, so it makes like the right seem crazy or conservatives seem crazy. But at least I'm okay with entertaining that crap, because conspiracy world, you're supposed to kind of let people think, as opposed to this group think it's starting to be now. You know what I mean? Everyone's sure. All on board this way. Everyone's all on board that way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, entertaining. Who cares? I mean, it's entertaining. You know what I mean? He's putting on a show. He's doing it. I mean, it is what it is. If you want to believe it, believe it. That's kind of where I am with everything. Flat Earth, anything like that. Entertain it if you want, man. It's who's to say he's right or wrong?
Yeah, I mean, he could for sure be right. I just find it very interesting that those are the kind of people I think that make the groups look bad. And I understand, like, I definitely understand where you're coming from, Ken, because, yeah, like, if you're gonna say that, like, Great Deception or Deplorable Nation or Deep Share or Black Pill is bad because of, like, Steve Quayle's dumb claims, then you're just an idiot for tying us all in the same group. Mm-hmm. But that's the way that people think. You know what I mean? Like, and so I find it just ridiculous.
Well, have you seen the new Netflix show Inside Job?
No, but my friend told me to watch that.
It's basically a cartoon that just goes to the absolute extreme end to make conspiracy theorists look retarded. Like, they take, you know, all the big lizard people jokes and adrenochrome, and they basically hit everything. And it's just, you know, it's this girl and her old man who got kicked out of the deep state, you know, and they supposedly run the deep state. It's like her. It's a girl, this Asian that's like addicted to meth, some giant mushroom thing. Like, it's just so wild. But at the same time, you look and there's probably some truth in there, right? I mean, there's probably a little bit in there, but they also push it so far just to make conspiracy theorists look retarded. You know, I mean, and that's where we're at right now. They can't discredit you so much on your work, so they have to go at you personally, right? And go to the extreme end, because, you know, some of the things that we're hitting are definitely conspiracies and they're definitely happening. But then you get the wild ones that are out there. And like Ken's saying, hey, if you want to entertain it. But at the same time, don't label all the good work that people have done in that same light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're at right now.
Have you guys seen the new American Horror Story?
Hey, I've mentioned it the last two episodes.
Ryan loves that.
It's crazy. Henry Kissinger was a lizard person in the newest one.
Yeah, we just finished it yesterday, and I was like, I mean, it's pretty out there. Definitely pretty out there, but it's a possibility. And
why do you think they're doing it?
Oh. We can go. I don't know how far out there do you want to take this early, because all I keep seeing is the repetition, you know what I mean? And people, a lot of times we like to pin it on like the elites or the deep state, like, look, they're repeating Saigon, look, there's a helicopter landing on the friggin' thing again, and oh, it's but what I see is just like that in nature as well. And I see like this fractal nature happening, where it's like reality seems to just like repeat itself over and over again in whatever way it can. It's almost like it's desperately trying to explain the same thing over and over again, this higher intelligence. And that's what I see. I see all of these little things popping up as like part of an algorithm, almost, not like simulation theory, but in a sense, that's kind of what simulation theory, I think, is taking away from. It's this natural conscious process that gives us exactly what we feed it. So we're focused more as a world now on alternative news. So the more it's out there, the more it's coming back at us, right? It seems to be now, as Ken was saying, it's in pop culture now. It's being corporatized. We're seeing it in cartoons everywhere. We're being mocked on a direct level now. And it's cartoonish. It's like Steve Pokinen says, we live in a fucking cartoon. It is. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost like a sine wave, right, Andy, where it just goes up and comes back, and it's just going to keep repeating eventually.
It's
depending
a loop
on what you know, how you feed it.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wish I could give a little input. I don't watch TV or Netflix or anything like that. I only watch a couple TV shows, and I barely turn on my TV. So I kind of stay away from it all.
Well, and that's what I wanted to ask you, Ken. And like, that's why I wanted to get you on here to, you know, just talk about this stuff. Cause I mean, you live up to the Black Pill name, right? I mean, it doesn't seem like you really are, you know, the first two pills were the red and the blue, right? And then like along comes this Black Pill where it's like, nothing's really gonna affect your life unless you let it type situation, right? So like what and you're a Buddhist, correct? Like
yeah.
So what in your life, dude, is something that you do think is important to kind of focus on?
Well, you know, you can see truth and everything, but you know, you can lead a horse to water. You can leave breadcrumbs here or there for people to kind of pick up on, but it's, I know my truths. I know what stuff I research. I know what I look into, but again, you're not going to change people's minds because people hold on to stuff like it's so near and dear to their heart. And again, it's easier to trick someone than tell them they've been tricked. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can't, mm-hmm. you're not, people aren't going to give up like that. So, I mean, for me, yeah, I pay attention to the stuff, but I don't feed any energy into it. Like I see what's going on, but I don't get angry. I don't get like upset or anything like that, or all worked up, because then you're just feeding into it. And that's what they want. They want to take your energy, mm-hmm. you know, as you know, Tripoli always says, the loosh and all that stuff. Yeah, they, it's real. They do want to take your energy. If you start focusing on that, then of course you're going to feel like shit. You're going to be depressed because that's how the news and everything portrays everything. So it's just like, live your life. What's in front of you right now, day by day. And so, I mean, that's all you can really do. And you're happier for it, man. Don't pay attention to that mm-hmm. crap, because they just want to, bring you down.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ken. I cut the cord on cable and got rid of all that shit too.
How much happier are you?
Oh, it's, you know, not only that, you know, I don't feel that, you know, that the need to get that fix, but on the other hand, it's so relieving not to be inundated with any of that bullshit, you know, and, you know, when my son watches some YouTube and he gets to the commercial part, it's like, oh, there it is again. And it like hits you in the nerves, because it's something that, you know, they have it down to a science to get to you, to elicit a response, and not giving up that energy in that time. Like you said, we're essentially batteries for this thing, right? Whatever it is, whatever we're on, we supply all of the energy. And if we can take our energy out of that, we're going to lessen their power and reduce the system. And by, and you know, I'm trying to do little parts here and there, and that's one of them. And damn, you're right. It feels so good not to have cable anymore.
I have a hard time even with movies now. Like I was such a cinephile, loved everything. And I've pretty much had to give up 95% or more of my favorite genre, which was sci-fi, because one, I see that repetition over and over and over again. It's just garbage at this point. The acting is terrible. The story sucks. Or it's just the ones that we grew up with changed, which I'm not on board with either. So it's like, I've had to give up most of it. I just saw Dune, which was pretty solid, but yeah, I've had to just, you know, let it go. And I've found, you know, I just spend more quality time with my family that way, or more productive leisure time, rather than being passive. I'm doing podcast stuff, or I don't know, a bunch of other more productive means of relaxing, if that makes any sense, other than TV and passively taking it in, you know, putting it out instead.
And with Dune, work on yourself, it? Man. Yeah, you know,
exactly.
Dude, with Dune, isn't it kind of funny how they're saying like it's stealing from Star Wars? And it's like that original one came out before Star Wars even was a thing. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of
it would have been
interesting.
For Dune, there wouldn't be Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, the desert planets.
Wars, but
yeah,
and
I mean,
see,
Star
look,
Wars.
There's an original Dune, because Hollywood is so unoriginal; they can't do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
They just keep remaking the same shit, putting a female as the lead, or making Superman gay, or whatever the hell they're gonna do with their trans agenda, the gay agenda, all that crap. It's, yeah. They're just unoriginal. They can't think of anything good. So even like you said, yeah, the storyline sucks. Yeah, because they're trying to do something, but they're not writers. They just want to influence you.
Yeah, I find myself often saying, you know, reboots would be good if they just didn't have these young pioneer directors that just wanted to make their mark and make it their own thing. But really what I'm saying is I just want to go back and watch my damn movie. Like, I don't need any reboots, you know?
Right.
No one does. But of course, it's just that fractal thing, in my opinion. It's just over and over again. Like you said, they don't have any original ideas. They can't come up with any ideas. And you can take that biblically or religiously in other areas. That demonic force can't create. That's always what they've been talking about, this system. So they have to latch on to everybody else. Have you seen that video that's been floating around of Crazy Bone for a while now, talking about he's like reading a letter that he wrote about some meeting back in the early 90s that him and a bunch of other prominent people in hip hop were invited to. And yeah, it talks all about how we're going to start changing the theme of hip hop to, you know, violence and gang warfare. And you're all going to like promote that in your music, and your clients are going to promote that in their music. And all these people were like big business owners of private prisons, because they were trying to get the prison system rolling and get those gears turning and get those numbers. And the more prison inmates, the more profits for the hip hop game.
Shit, man. It's pretty wild. I should know that. I'm Crazy Bone. I'm from Cleveland. I'm in Cleveland. Oh, yeah. I should know that.
Check it out, man.
Was that in the '80s?
Early '90s. That was like 92, I think, or 93. He said early '90s. And it's
like
all
right around NWA.
Yeah, it was the kickoff of the gangster rap era.
Exactly. You know? It was literally the beginning of that.
Ice-T, NWA, Ice Cube, that whole era.
So yeah, dude. It's
well, it doesn't surprise us, right? It doesn't surprise us that that meeting happened. I feel like we've been looking at hip-hop and even just music in general for a decade or more going, yeah, something went on. Something happened. Something's going on behind. You know, obviously, this doesn't surprise any of us, but will this make a ripple in the right direction? I think... just to not to go on too long, but the idea of like not being able to change anybody, I would just say that the only way you can change anybody's mind on this shit is if you hit them with something that they personally are attached to, because that's how every one of us wakes up, because it's always hitting us in just that right spot that makes us turn our head long enough to look at the whole picture and see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's people have blinders on, though.
Go ahead, Ken.
No, the people have blinders on. They choose not to see it. It's that cognitive dissonance. They convince themselves with the mental gymnastics that, no, that can't be true, or anything, like any actor, or musician and crap. People are like, attached, like, Tom Hanks, no, he wasn't big. He's like my favorite. No, he's a fucking creep. You know what I mean? It is what it is. Like, hey, guy's a good actor.
I lost him too, man.
Yeah, but he's still a piece of shit. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is.
Yeah, when you get to that level, it doesn't seem like you can be like a solid person, because you have to be bought and sold and all these other things. But yeah, dude, social media seems to be making it back to what Andy was saying. Like, you have to hit them with something specific to what they care about. Social media, I think, is making it so like everyone just cares about their own shit. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you can show them a pedophile documentary. The whole Pizzagate's pretty fantastical. No one really pays attention to the Franklin scandal, which is an actual real thing. And because you can't implicate Hillary Clinton in the fucking Franklin scandal, right? And so even if you showed them something fantastic, like Pizzagate, fantastical, I should say, like Pizzagate, where it's tying into David Spade and all these other freaking people, where it's like, what are we talking about here? Unless it was their child, you know, as unfortunate as that is, they can hear about, because everyone knows that kids are being taken advantage of. This is not a new phenomenon, right? But unless it was their kid, it's not really going to hit home for them. And, you know, I would never wish that on anybody, man. That's a very, you know, tragic thing anytime this kind of shit goes down. But it's just, dude, yeah, I don't know how you go about waking people up, man, because people want to be right about things. They never want to admit that they were wrong and never want to look stupid.
And part of that too, Ryan, is part of this takeover, right? This transformation that's going on, not only in the education system, but in society, where, you know, feelings and emotions now have taken precedent over facts and truth. And, you know, it's worse almost nowadays to hurt someone's feelings than it is to do physical harm to them. And that's when things are so backwards, that people hold on to these thoughts and these beliefs more than, you know, reality. And that's where it gets dangerous.
Well, and society's doing that too. I'm sure you all have heard about that woman that was raped on that bus for like 40 minutes or something. And like, there was people on that bus and no one did anything. You know what I mean? But it's like, if someone, you know, uses the wrong pronoun on social media, people jump down that person's throat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's insane. Did you hear about that, Janet? I mean, it's crazy how this poor woman was just getting raped by an immigrant that came over from like 2012. I don't know what country, but it was an illegal person, stayed over past their visa, on a school scholarship deal and then went to school for like a quarter and then just dipped out and no one paid attention to that. I'm not saying all immigrants are bad. We're all freaking immigrants at some point, right? But man, something needs to be done with this shit, dude, because I feel like that's going to be an epidemic in the near future with all these massive amounts of people coming over the borders. You know that they're coming in from the north. Mm-hmm. They're just not talking about it. It's more polarizing to talk about it from the south because Mexico people. Has a really bad situation.
Brown people. That's why. So that's they bring race into it. Then that's how they can do that.
That's why
so
it's polarizing, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's interesting. I mean, what did you hear about that though, Janet? I was curious what like you heard about the whole deal because it's tragic, man. It's fucking sad.
It was I was just going to make a comment on it. I was going to say that I think people have gotten so like disassociated and lazy that it's not happening to me. So I don't have to step in. I'll just get out. Yeah. I'll just get out my phone and video. Can you imagine being in that situation or, you know, whatever situation, like somebody's trying to stab you or strangle you or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you got a whole bunch of people standing around just videoing with their phone. And I don't understand people like that because I'd be like a spider monkey. I would completely jump on that guy's back, you know, knock him off or whatever I had to do, but
or call the police. No one even called the police.
They're just lazy. People are lazy. And it's like, oh, well, it's like just another day on the bus. Like this kind of stuff happens all the time. It's no big deal. Yeah, I don't understand like people's mindset of how they can be that way. But at the same aspect, like what you guys were talking about earlier, for people to basically get hit over the head with information, it means a part of them actually has to die off. That part that had that firm belief. So it's kind of like having like a little death inside yourself when you realize that, you know, like for me, it was the medical industry or somebody else, it's 9/11 or whatever, that everything that you believed was wrong. So it takes that for a lot of people. It is something that has to happen to them on a personal level that affects them, like, you know, the jab situation or, you know, whatever the case may be before they actually wake up and accept the fact that, you know, what they're being told was not true.
Well, it's an ego thing. People mm-hmm. don't like being wrong and they can't accept it. It's okay.
I'm wrong a lot.
I'm wrong all the time. You're not a bad person for being wrong. I mean, nope. You've been fooled your whole life on a lot of shit. So when something comes up like that, you got to roll with the punches, man. You just got to change your perspective on things mm-hmm. and you can't take it personally. And that's what a lot of people do. So they think, oh, because I got this wrong. They fight it and they get angry and they call you names and shit. Mm-hmm. It's like you got to let that shit go, man. It's let your ego go, man. You just drop it.
There's a lot of people that can't do that, though. I mean, they're so like stuck on themselves and in their own little world that even the smallest thing could absolutely destroy like their entire world or their entire apple cart. Just, you know.
Yeah. They're mental midgets. That's all they are. Mental
midgets. Yeah. And that starts in the school system, right? Because yeah. I have an 8-year-old, so I'm seeing it firsthand right now that mm-hmm. compared to when we were in school, it's a whole different world. Yeah. You know, I mean, these kids are essentially coddled along and pushed along and told they're the greatest thing. And that anything that would be even considered constructive criticism is now borderline abuse.
Right. Well,
and even the school system, they teach you what to think, not how to think. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. So that's why a lot of these people like believe the news or just go along to get along kind of thing. Cause they'd have no way of, they'd never really thought about anything. You know what I mean? They've always been told what to think. Mm-hmm. So that whole process of thinking, it's hard. A lot of people don't do it anymore, man.
And I heard this on your podcast, Ryan, when the one you just put out with Nico and you guys were talking about the school system and my buddy mm-hmm. Nico that does Upstate Unconventional mm-hmm. Podcast. He was a substitute teacher and he said that you could have a perfect answer, but if it went against the narrative that they were looking for, they would penalize you for it. And that's right. Where the education system is now. If you do not stick to the narrative, and it's much like social media, if you stray from the narrative, that's when we're going to take away from you. But if you stick to it, no matter how wrong you may be, you are correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereas when I was in school, it was that, sure, the narrative was in all the textbooks and it was in the curriculum, but it wasn't forced down anyone's throats. I mean, the urgency should give it away that whatever power structure thinks they don't have any power. That's why it's all trickery and coercion. And that's why I think all these crazy, sad, tragic news stories are focused on and put out there just to make us feel hopeless or something. Mm-hmm. When it's all just screens, man. And it's just like, got to get away from it. You got to zone out from it after a while, you know, and go back to your own self. I think that's why meditation's important for sure. And it's, you know, I don't fit it into every day by no means, but
right.
it is important for sure. And I think I would say more people are doing it every day, which is good to see. Because really, when you think about it, even if you don't go too crazy deep into it, you can just, it's just taking some time out for yourself and reflecting on things. No one reflects anymore because we just move on to the next thing. You know what I mean? So I think it's important that we're learning to reflect more. I mean, we're in a growth period as a species, one way or the other. It doesn't have to be called a great reset or a great awakening or anything. It can just be, this is growing up.
Or a metamorphosis type deal, right? It's not necessarily, it could be a negative thing or it could be a positive thing. I heard this really crazy concept. Have you heard the myth that red ants and black ants hate each other and they fight at all costs, right? It's not true, but like I heard this from a military podcast, actually. It's Drinking Bros. It's a really good show. And they were this dude on there, Dan Holloway, he making his rounds on the news networks and all that. And he was talking about this idea where if you take a jar and you put red ants and black ants in there, and I guess they used to do this in Iraq or wherever they were stationed at, you put them in there, they'll just kind of mind their own business and they'll do their own thing. But when you shake the jar, that's when they start fighting. And it's like, instead of, you know, we're thinking like insects when we're just like, you know, like we talked about the polarization of who's coming in from the southern border. Is it Mexicans or is it Arabs or is it Chinese or whatever? And that becomes a problem for some people. But like, who's the one that's constructing this whole deal? That's the similarity of like the person shaking the jar, right? Who's the one that's shaking the jar that is the fucking world? It's not just the United States. This is going on everywhere. But we notice it here because of the climbing gas prices. I mean, in California, it's $8 plus a gallon. I mean, this is historical high prices. This is contrived stuff. But instead of, you know, conservatives are sitting here saying, hey, this is liberals that did this. These people put in Joe Biden. It's like, no, the liberals really didn't put Joe Biden in. I really don't think Joe Biden got as many votes as they say he did. But it's not like Trump would have done anything to change that, man. I think that this was the plan. And it would be a really good move for Trump, being part of this whole system, to come in, oversee the best 4 years of expansion, highest black lowest black unemployment, all these great stats that are under his belt, and then have the election stolen from him, in heavy quotes, have it stolen from him, and then, you know, right off into the sunset, and everyone wants him back. He's propped up as this god, and Joe Biden's the asshole that fucked it all up. I mean, like, it just makes sense.
That does make sense, because like, they love to do that. They love to sell a solution after a problem, and one after another, you know, because I always saw January 6th and the 4 years of Trump as just part of the act. And then, but this would make sense because now Biden's losing all credibility. So if they came in at some point, we're like, oh shit, he is president. Like, that would be hilarious. Cause I don't think he has the steam anymore. Yeah. He doesn't have that.
I think you're right though. I don't think anything changes. It's all, again, Trump's a politician too. He's an actor. All these guys play a role. He was allowed in for whatever reason to be the villain. He's the bad guy. it's again, they're all playing on the same team, man. No one in politics, like, unless it's your local, they're not out to help you. They're not out to help you. They're there to make their money. They're there to play a role. That's all it is. It's all one big game. So you can say conservatives, liberals, listen, they both at the same point. It's like a circle. They come back. They're the same people. They're all the same.
It's on tail.
Exactly.
Both so wings like, have to flap for the bird to fly.
Right.
Yeah. And they work for the corporation, right? They are here to make money for the government, not for the people. And that's, you know, I put out a podcast today on that, on the Act of 1871, where, you know, we essentially, Washington, D.C. was created its own district of 10 square miles. That's an incorporated area, and it's not part of the United States, the unincorporated United States. And though those that work for it, what is the purpose of those who work for a corporation? To make money for the shareholders. Well, their right. shareholders aren't us. Their shareholders are the higher ups, and that's who they're making their money for. And that's what we're seeing now. And it's being exposed even more than ever before, but it's like a runaway train though. You know, you look at it now and it's like, well, how do we stop it? You know, because this thing has gotten so big. Everybody sees that now miraculously Pfizer jumped into the top 10, you know, highest grossing companies, and all these Congress people have stock in it. And it's like, it's so blatantly obvious in our face, but much like Q, they give you all this information, but there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. Right? Like I always say, like, I don't vote. I think voting is all rigged. If nobody went to the polls, nobody voted, what the hell are they going to, it's like, it's a big sham. And either way, they'll say, oh, you won by a landslide or this and that. It's just one big game. It's a big show they're putting on for everyone to do whatever the hell they want. You know what I mean? It's a corporatocracy, whatever you want to call it, oligarchy. That's what's running the country. And that's how it's always been. Money talks, the rest walks, man. And that's how, I mean, that's America for you, man.
When do you think that changed though, man? Do you think it's been like that since the inception of the United States? Because I agree with you, but I'm just wondering if that we were started on a lie as an experiment or if it went away in the 60s, like a lot of people think.
I think to an extent, but not, I think it kind of ran away. From what, you know what I mean? I think there was some truth to that. Like it's an experiment. They're doing something right, but you got to look at who founded the country. You know what I mean? A lot of Freemasons, all that crap. And I think it really went downhill with the creation of the Federal Reserve. That's really in central banking in America. That's where it just tanked. It started going downhill from there. And now you see the shift in money, the shift in power. It's, you know what I mean? That's what I thought, at least.
Is there real proof that George Washington was a Freemason? I might sound ignorant here, but like all the things that I've seen are just drawings of him. And I have a big Freemason book, and he's not listed.
Scottish Rite. I think so.
Scottish Rite.
Yeah, most of the founding fathers were Scottish Rite, because who was backing us? It was France, right?
Right. Sure.
Here's an interesting thing that I've been finding with Dan Inaki. We've been doing a lot of stuff about Bach Saga and things like that, following the languages. And we've been seeing a lot of Freemasons fleeing Sweden to escape. Like, it seems like the Freemasons were infiltrated at some point, as if to say that they actually were guarding pretty holy, sacred knowledge for everyone that was neither evil nor good. It's like the Force from Star Wars. It's dependent on who's using it. And they were guarding it because of assholes that are out there. And unfortunately, the story seems to be that they were infiltrated at some point and they fled desperately trying to, like, I guess in the long run, it looks like the United States was originally set up maybe to escape this shit, but then immediately got infiltrated again.
Yeah,
just like the snake.
Yeah, because Andy, the Masons got infiltrated by the Illuminati, right? And Weishaupt.
That's what we're
and
at,
and yeah. Weishaupt was from the Bavarian order, which ties back to the Jesuits, which ties back to the Vatican. And that's what you get into. You get into this whole, the Roman Empire never died, just like the Nazis didn't lose the war. They all just rebranded, right? And they went from being the, you know, upfront man to the behind the scenes guys, and now they can have other people do their dirty work for them and not have to take the fall for it. And I think you're absolutely right with that, because I the more I look into it too, I see there are these people who are trying to hold on to this ancient knowledge and this old way, but there's this other group that keeps coming in and trying to destroy it
and make it evil and call it demonic.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing because you see it over and over again. And it's the same group that keeps trying to destroy it when you trace it all the way back. And, you know, you look at things like the old buildings in the old world, you know, like the World's Fairs, where mm-hmm. they were basically a show to say, here's what you had, but you're never going to have it again because we're just going to destroy it right in front of your face. It may be as beautiful as a thing as you've ever seen, but we're just going to destroy it because you don't deserve this. And you're going to go our way now, the Rockefeller way, you know?
Isn't that one of the weird theories about like the Illuminati is that Adam Weishaupt is actually the one that's on the $1 bill instead of George Washington? Like it's actually his mug that's on there.
Weird. I never
that's
heard
one
that
of the
before.
Theories. Yeah.
So that would be infiltration of the Illuminati into the Masons. But like, I mean, do you get what I'm trying to ask here is like, do we actually know for a fact that Washington was part of the Freemasons? Because again, it's only drawings, right? Is there any, like there wasn't photographs back then, right? I mean, like we're just going off of words, right? And sort of like, if we're going to take the Bible as stone cold fact, then, which we don't, right? I mean, a lot of people disagree with that. I think that like the foundation of the country is similar, dude. Like supposedly George Washington wasn't even the first president. There was like three presidents before him, but they served like very short terms, not 4-year terms. George Washington was the first one to come in and say, no, everyone should do fucking 2 4-year terms. But then FDR does like 4 4-year terms. You know, there's weird deals with that. But I mean, George Washington is painted as like this great dude. And Benjamin Franklin is painted as like this horrible guy once you start digging into it a little bit, right? I mean, he's got like bodies buried under his house and shit like that.
I mean, it's so hard to say with history, man. Everything has been painted a certain way. It's a story they want to tell. That's why they prop up certain people. George Washington's the greatest person ever and all that. Like,
cannot
I'm sure
tell
he's
a lie.
Big piece of shit too. You know what I mean? I'm sure he probably slapped his wife, probably kicked the dog. You know what I mean? All that shit. He's just a person, man. So they put all these people on a pedestal to tell a good story. I mean, but before, I mean, the whole left culture, Christopher Columbus, you know, discovered America, blah, blah, blah. But we know that's bullshit. Like, you know, he didn't discover shit. Vikings were here before that. And even before that, guess who lived here? Native Americans. They didn't discover it. They just lived here. You know what I mean?
There was something really interesting that I heard on Louder with Crowder, actually, where they were digging really deep into Christopher Columbus. And he was actually very, very nice to Native Americans, supposedly, according to his journal, which, of course, he could fudge. But that's another thing, too, is like, why right now are so people so pissed off at Christopher Columbus? I know that there's been like these little niche groups that were really mad at him. They're starting to call, you know, Christopher Columbus Day, freaking Indigenous Peoples Day or whatever, which is fine. I mean, call the holidays whatever you want.
As long as I get off work.
Yeah, they're both stupid. Hey, you know, you're lucky if you get it off work. I don't fucking get it off work. Hey, I mean, that's great. You know, it just to me, it's just so weird. Christopher Columbus was Spanish, correct?
Yeah, Spanish or Italian?
They're saying Spanish or Portuguese. Yeah.
Okay, so then why are English-speaking white people to blame for the conquering of the country? You know what I mean? And the slaughtering of these native people. That to me is really interesting, dude, because like I'm Irish and I'm Scottish and I'm a little English too, which English, fuck the English, they're assholes, right? They did a lot of bad stuff. But the Irish, they've been slaves since the freaking dawn of time, dude. And like even when they came over to this country along with the Scottish, they were treated pretty poorly. And right. It's just very interesting that people, just because Christopher Columbus is depicted like Jesus as being this blonde hair, blue eyed Nazi looking dude, right? It doesn't make sense to me that's
Caesar
like,
Borgia.
Yeah, it ties in with that freaking CRT stuff, that critical race theory thing where if you have dark skin, you're disadvantaged, and you need to be mad at these people with white skin who are suppressors. It's very weird, dude. It's the red ant, black ant thing.
Don't you think it's silly to even care what the hell Christopher Columbus did? 1492. What the hell does that have anything to do with today? Why even give a shit? Why even give any energy to it? Who cares? It was way back then. We can't change anything. We're here where we're at.
let's fucking roll forward with it, dude.
And we're better off than we would have been without the way that we are. If you're born in the United States, doesn't matter what color your skin is, dude, you won the life lottery, dude. You really did. You telling me that a black person is better off in Africa right now than being born in the United States? Just instead of hating white people for what went down, give thanks to your ancestors, your black ancestors victim. That went through that shit, right? Yeah, don't play the victim. Like, you know, these people did suffer a little bit, right? They suffered quite a bit sometimes. Yeah, no matter what color.
Like the Western side of things, right, that we're taught. We're taught that Roman Italian version of history, which is not, you know, it's a part of it, but it's their story, right? And getting back to the Washington that you were mentioning before, one of the things I learned recently is that whole, you know, the whole myth with Washington chopping down the cherry tree.
Yeah.
What that was an analogy for, symbolic of, was Washington getting rid of the Moors in America.
Oh, and the freaking like from Morocco?
Yeah, well, yeah, the Moorish people, that they had a heavy presence down south, specifically, you know, around like New Orleans and Louisiana area down that way. And, you know, there's some people that'll say out there that they were part of the original, you know, building of this country with the natives, with like the Cherokee and some of the different tribes. And but that whole, you know, we're taught that Washington chopped down the cherry tree was a real patriotic thing. But in reality, it was, you know, killing the Moors and destroying them.
So, they always glorify their prominence over the, you know, that's us.
Crazy. That's crazy.
They love how to much do that. They have to.
Cherokee sounds like cherry tree quite a bit, too, if you say it fast enough.
Well, and it was the Cherokee Nation.
Mind blown. Hey? Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's crazy, dude. That's an interesting thing.
But yeah, I haven't seen too much on that. But that gets into an interesting thing of who wrote the history that we're reading, right? And you start going back and it narrows down to less and less people. Like I just learned, you know, in the last year or so that most of the United States history of the West and of the Native Americans was written by one guy. And this guy supposedly wrote, you know, over 60,000 pages of information. And he just so happened to also be the same guy who did a lot of the World Fair documentation. Jesus right. Christ. So you start seeing that these people, well, then, and then it gets a little weirder. So the guy's name was H.H. Bancroft. Well, if you go back to the King James Bible, the guy who actually wrote it for King James, he was Richard Bancroft. So you start seeing these same names come up and it's like, no way. Is it like just this same group that has written history throughout time, you know, or at least the modern version of it from, you know, 1500 or so on.
Right.
What's the guy's name again?
So wild. What's that?
What's the guy's name again?
The guy that was with King James was Richard Bancroft, Bancroft. And then the other guy was H.H. Bancroft, like Hubert something or other.
Well, okay. Even with the history and everything you were saying, like if you looked into Tartaria and everything like that, like how about a lot of the old buildings in America in general? Like you can't build them like that before. And they say like, oh, it was built in the 1700s. Bullshit. It was probably there long before. And then they're just refurbishing it all, or, you know, repurposing everything. So even World's Fair, a lot of those buildings and the way the cities were set up, that was probably there for a long time. And they just kind of moved in and did a World's Fair there. So even that history, like who's to say like 1700, like you don't know. You don't know.
Only talking like 200 years, right, Ken? I mean, it's not like we're talking biblical times. This is 200 years and we can't get the story straight.
Exactly, because they just manipulated everything. And like you said, the victors write the story, man. They tell the tale. So they'll say whatever the hell they want.
I find us in a weird conundrum because I think on like a as above, so below kind of way, we're looking back at our fabricated history, our ego-controlled history, just like someone in psychotherapy goes back into their past and regresses back and tries to confront the lies they told themselves, all the walls they built around things. We're doing that as a species now, or at least over here we are big time. We're digging into everything. And yeah, it's all lie after lie after lie after lie. And at one part of me feels like we need to go through this process and see it through. But the other part of me is kind of freaked out because of like, what I hear about revelation of method and things like that, where it's like, this is the path that they're leading us down, that we should be unraveling all this. Do we all sign off and not do these podcasts anymore? Do we close the, like, that's not the option either. You know what I mean? But it is kind of creepy because it, a lot of things do feel like revelation of method, where it's all very obvious. It's all coming out just as we predicted, right? Or as we all in this community see happening. Oh, it's just, it's coming like a wave. We see it. And then there it is, right in everybody's faces. And they know it's going to be seen. They know it's going to go from that unseen place to that obvious place where they have to address it. It's always that cycle, and they anticipate that. So that's where it gets a little weird for me. You know what I mean? Because it could be this spiritual awakening, but it could be this weird cryptic trickery shit.
Yeah, dude, I was looking up that name Bancroft, right? Have you looked into the meaning of that name, Matt?
No.
Supposedly it's dweller by the bean field or field of beans. I wonder what the fuck that means. You know what I mean? There's got to be some sort of meaning to that, because if that's such a prevalent name in history, not just American history, but world history, I mean, like, field of beans or dweller in the bean field, that's fucking weird. I mean, you'd think that there'd be something there, right? Like, beans have to represent something. I don't know what, you know, but it's just, I'm really interested in the meaning behind these names, like the last names, especially like the family crests are always really interesting to me. So, I mean, I wonder what that Bancroft name is. I'm going to look into that a lot, dude. That's very interesting.
Do the gematria on it, Ryan.
Oh, I'll do the gematria right now. I'm like your live fact checker.
I'll do the gematria. That thing you said about Washington, the cherry tree, that sparked something, because that repeats too, because the Bach saga has that as well. Supposedly when the Bach family was chased out of Helsinki by the Catholics when they invaded, the family tree was chopped down, and the family oak tree in the Bach saga, not to go down that rabbit hole, but the oak tree is extremely sacred for many, many reasons. It's rooted right into their language and the story and their alphabet and everything. So it's an interesting point that Washington cuts down the cherry tree to take away from the Moorish people, perhaps. That's interesting. I'm going to have to connect those two ideas, I think, because I run into a lot of Moorish Tartaria shit when researching, like, the Israeli tribes and the Bach saga and where that all happened. It's weird. There's a lot of weird connections there. It's cool.
Well, it's interesting you say that too with the tribes, because I know right after that stuff went down in Haiti earlier this year, I know Sam on Tinfoil Hat had this guy from Haiti. And one of his claims was that the Haitian people are one of the lost tribes, and that's why they're treated the way they're treated. They fled to Haiti to get away, and that's where they ended up. And that's why they're being, you know, manipulated up, down, and sideways in the land itself. I had never heard of that, but I thought that was interesting in tying in with the tribes, because I think that has some significance to it, right? Where did those tribes end up, and who are they now? And we don't know, you know, there's so much out there on it, but
we're getting there, I think. And that's, I think we're getting there. And I know that sounds ridiculous that we're going to actually get somewhere, but I think we might, because I think Tartaria has a lot to do with it. But again, back to that revelation of method thing, Tartaria has really been put everywhere for a while now, but not that long. And it seems to be very conveniently taking the place of Atlantis and Mu and Lumeria, all the same qualities and all the same characteristics. Now we have physical buildings and a history, and Putin's putting out a museum in honor of the true Russian history. He feels so bad that they've lied to the people for so long about what the real Russian history is. It's all being revealed to us quite conveniently, the way it's being framed, at least. Even Sam has mentioned Tartaria specifically in the vein of this is the long lost underdog society that we all have learned so much from and we love and we need. I think they are the sleeping dragon. And we're, that's what Dan and I and our buddy Yake on the new podcast are going to try to do on Roots of Creation. We're going to kind of expose that idea a little bit and talk about how we can follow where these tribes went by following the language and following phonetics, because that's vibration. And that sound, regardless of language, is very important. And we're finding in Bach Saga that the sounds is always, has always been the most important. That's why the Bach Saga is not really heard of that much, because it was mostly orally passed around until around now, past 10 years or so. So yeah, there's going to be some cool shit coming out, I think.
Well, it's funny you say that too, Andy, because they do talk about, you know, Tartaria is basically like the fourth reset, right? Because, or you know, you had the Atlanteans, the Lemurians, the Mu people, and then the Aryans, which a lot of people say that the Aryans, they're not the blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, that Germany talks about, but they're more the red-haired, blue-eyed, Mongol Tartarian people, you know, almost Moorish in a sense too. You could group them into there as being the last great civilization that was kind of erased, and now you're moving into this fifth and final iteration of things. And I always, well, I found that interesting because I had never heard that before.
Now, like, I heard that's one of the reasons for like going to Vietnam, bombing everything, taking, basically wiping out all those old buildings and everything like that. World War II, they wiped out how many buildings that were probably from the old era. So it's just like these wars, there's multiple, I mean, obviously multiple reasons why they're doing it, but one of the big ones was to wipe out like the memory and history of what Tartaria was and their, you know, real stance on everything. I mean, like they were the great culture, their technology, everything like that. It, like some of these old churches, they would go in there and like there's organs in there because they used the vibration. It was to go there to heal. It wasn't to go pray and do all that other crap. You went there to feel better. Like, right. If you're sick, you go to that, the church or whatever. I don't think it was a church they called it, but yeah, the vibrations would heal you.
Basically, what I'm saying is I think that the same people that were in charge there and destroyed their own people are in charge now. So that's what I mean. So the people that it wasn't like, I don't know. At least that's where we're heading towards. So we'll expose more of that and see where we go. I don't know, but it does kind of feel that way.
To what Ken was saying too, dude, like the fucking, I mean, going into Iraq after 9/11, you know what I mean? Like there was like the Stargate stuff and they're like the troops are messing around in the museums and all that stuff too. I mean, it's destroying very, stuff. Very weird.
Well, that's why even ISIS going and destroying all that stuff everywhere they go. It's like they're trying to wipe the memory out so they can rewrite history.
Do you remember cities in the Iraqi desert, and that's a Sumerian city, and it's
Well, yeah, dude, that's where humanity seems to have started. If you like, kind of like cite a lot of history or whatever, it starts in like Iraq and all that those areas, right? But it's very. Do you guys remember that whole connection with like Rihanna, that pop artist dating the dude that was connected to the highest levels of ISIS, like buying like Hezbollah trucks and shit like that?
No shit.
Dude, it was wild. And she's a freaking billionaire now, man. You know what I mean? It's insane. Like these people at the high, like they were buying them Toyotas. Like I forget the guy's name, man, but he was a Saudi prince. It just really, really weird stuff. And yeah, man, there was something else that you said earlier too, Andy, with like the whole music thing and like how music was predicting shit and now it's movies. And now it seems to be like, you know, conspiracy theories and all this stuff is becoming mainstream. I think Ken said that, but, one thing that never slips my mind since I brought up 9/11 just now is that Slayer album that dropped the day that 9/11/2001 happened. That God Hates Us All was the title of that album on that Tuesday that shit went down. You know what I mean?
I never realized it dropped on the same day. That's wild.
Yeah. Look it up. If I mean, 9/11,
no, I believe you.
9/11/2001, dude. And like there's songs in there that talk about terrorists and all kinds of crazy shit.
I think Jay-Z's Blueprint also dropped on that day.
No shit.
The first one?
Either Blueprint or Blueprint 2. One of them dropped on 9/11 or was supposed to, and then they pulled it and then dropped it later. But yeah, I was listening to a podcast talk about that the other day, and I was like, wow, I don't even, I was in college at the time. I didn't even remember that.
Yeah, dude.
This is where mushrooms would help, man. Mushrooms would make us all feel like, man, this is a wild story we're in right now.
Yeah, dude. It's so crazy, man. Just thinking about the fact that, like, and you know, these record labels, they know they're higher connected than people want to admit, dude. You know what I mean? So that's what's just kind of interesting, that
this God hates society. They influence society. So they're put up there who's going to play the game, man. So
they're told what to say too. Like, right. Like, these, so few artists are writing their own songs or making their own music. I mean, actors are going out there, freaking Alec Baldwin right now, dude, that dude went through some shit. Right. I mean, that, I feel, if that happened to anyone else, I would feel bad for him. Right. But Alec Baldwin's such a piece of shit that, like, for me, I'm just like, dude, maybe you should have learned about guns. You should have checked.
Yeah, sounded like a hit to me.
Well, there is some Hillary Clinton connections through that Sussman character, and then, you know, there's Ukrainian connections. There's
the director was the same, or the guy who gave him the gun was the same guy on the set of The Crow where Brandon Lee got shot and killed.
Yeah. So it's like that. There's like layers of conspiracy, and I feel like you wake up to one and then you got to wake up to another one. And it's kind of like they're leading us with the entertainment kind of conspiracies.
Well, yeah.
And they just want us chasing them.
This one got weird, Andy, too, because recently I heard that most of the people had walked off the set the day before. Because they weren't getting paid or something. So there's only like a handful of people on set, including, you know, the woman who got shot.
Dude, that gun that was being used, right? That same revolver gun. It was a revolver, a six shooter. That gun, someone was just shooting it out in the desert, like shooting at animals and shit out in the desert, supposedly. I mean, like, these people are going out. And so this weapon allegedly was going from a prop weapon to a live weapon. They were alternating this. And then they drop it on a liberal Alec Baldwin's lap that doesn't know the first thing about guns. And instead of like inspecting this, making sure that these are blank rounds, being like, okay, are we good to go? Why am I pointing it directly at this lady instead of like just 10 degrees away from her? You know, there's so much, dude. And why isn't Hollywood using just no bullets, not even blank rounds? Because CGI can do so much right now that there's no reason. But like my main thing is like, what is this going to do for firearms in movies? Is it going to outlaw it? I mean, the director is already saying he's not going to mess around with guns in movies anymore. And we may end up like France, where they don't show any kind of gun violence or anything in their movies. They show nudity. They show full bush in their movies. We're not allowed to see that. I mean, I'm down for it, dude. We're not allowed to see that, but we're allowed to see someone get their fucking head cut off or get fucking people sewn together, ass to mouth, like in Human Centipede. I mean, this shit is the stuff that we're allowed to see here, but we can't see a little bush. I mean, come on. What's going on?
Does a part of you think, too, that this is, they're like kind of, someone did die, but they're glorifying it just to distract people from like all the shit that's going on? Like, same with that girl that disappeared in the desert or whatever. That I think all that is just fake.
And people chasing numbers and taking the names apart and shit.
It's so dumb.
Dude, the bounty hunter got involved.
See, that's what I'm talking about. It's all just garbage. It's
a cartoon. Like,
FBI is looking for the boyfriend, couldn't find him, and the parents go out one day and find him right away. Like, it's just all bullshit.
Like, just found head on the side of the road.
Yeah, right. How do you believe any of this crap? I don't even know if those people are real. Even if they are, they're just actors.
Well, like, and the funny thing was their name, right? Their names were shady. It was like Brain Laundry.
Yeah.
And Gabby, you know, Petito, she had ties to Sandy Hook. And
yeah, dude, that's the problem with like the Hollywood shit is like, no matter what, like this Alec Baldwin thing, it happened off. Like, oh yeah, this isn't part of the movie, but we're all actors here. This is, you know, it's like, I can't really trust that any of that was actually like unplanned. If someone actually did die, then shit. Then it was probably for another reason that we don't know, you know. But also, they have Peter Stormare. You guys familiar with that actor? He's in a bunch of different things, but like, he is in that movie, or he's friends with those people. And he was saying on a video that I don't even know why they were using that gun. We haven't used, you know, blanks even in a decade. We use just a little flame that comes out of the end of the gun. It's, and to touch on that idea about like CGI, like, you can't put a stick in his hand and turn into a gun, but you can have like Thor riding tornadoes and shit.
Yeah, so, but like, fucking Hulk.
This is crazy. This.
Well, dude, you know, the real conspiracy here is that Dog the Bounty Hunter is 5'7" tall. He's not as big as he looks.
Up like 6 inches, so it gets him up to 6 feet.
He wears his platform boots and he has that fake mullet that brings him up to like 6'2". So, I mean, that dude is very, very short.
Don't talk shit.
He's a tiny. What?
He's an icon. Don't talk shit.
Man's a national treasure.
Dude, I'm just saying, this guy, I mean, like, it's just funny. And then he fucking broke his hip or something when he was out there looking for this guy in the swamp. I mean, it's kind of sad, man. You know, like,
Someone will connect the broken hip to another event. You wait.
That was a Hillary Clinton attempted hit, is what that was. I don't know, dude. It's just freaking weird, man. It's just chaos.
It's fun to watch if you're not invested in it.
See, that's the best. That's what you have to do. You got to make fun of this stuff because they want you to be serious, take all this shit seriously, and you know, waste your energy on that. The best part is just the laugh about it, joke about it, because it is all just one big game they're playing. And it's so obvious to people like us. We see it. You just got to make fun of it, dude. And that takes away all the energy and all the seriousness of all the crap they do. Like, I sort of like, yeah, that girl, maybe she did die or whatever it is. I don't know. I made fun of the whole thing. Like, one person goes disappearing and they put it all over the news. It's national headlines. People disappear from Cleveland all the fucking time. There was a serial killer here for a while. Like, there was a couple of them. People are disappearing left, right, and center. But that's not all over the news, not national headlines. They got one girl. And then, of course, they bring race into it because, oh, it's a pretty white chick. So they bring that into it all. It's just ways to distract you from all the shit that's going on and all the crap they're doing and the games they play, and just to get you all riled up to fight, divide you even more. I don't know. I see right through the shit.
Oddly enough, it's now not to distract us from what they're doing. It's almost to shove it in our faces and be like, can you believe it? And they're getting away with it.
Well, you know, I think like,
no, they're not.
Because to Ken's point, people go missing and they go, I mean, they die every day. My freaking next door neighbor here, they had a girl with Down syndrome that was like 30 something. She went missing like 2 or 3 years ago. And then they found her body a year later out in the desert, like right down the street. That wasn't national news, right? It was very tragic and it was sad. But, you know, this girl's a social media influencer. She had a YouTube channel with like 10,000 followers, not even anything substantial. But I think that this is what they really used to really shove it down people's throats. It's like, yeah, your kids want to be social media influencers. They want to be YouTube personalities, like fucking that kid that does unboxings of the presents and stuff. It's like, you know, this is what's going to happen to them. You know what I mean? It's just really, really weird. But yeah, that was my thought immediately too, Ken, is like, dude, why is this chick's disappearance getting propped up? There's a reason. And then yes, the conspiracy type people are tying it to making the connection with what was it, Sandy Hook and all these other things, which we probably shouldn't say a third time here. I think we've said it twice now.
Handy shook, dude.
There we go. You know, it's just insane, man. It's very, very weird. But, you know, we can probably say that SH word as much as we want. I actually heard from Lex Friedman that the way that they do the algorithms is it's all the title of the show. So as long as you title this like Master Debaters, that sounds like masturbators. That's fun. You can do all kinds of porn that you want to do, and that's 100% allowed. But the people that are tuning into your video or streaming your audio, it goes off of what other videos they look into. So if they're like 9/11 truthers and they, you know, look into freaking, I don't know, January 6th.
The Vegas shooting.
Yeah. If they're looking into all these videos and then there's a certain percentage of them that also tune into this, that's a big red flag for them. I've been looking into it a lot because I'm freaking Shadowban hardcore on Instagram right now. Matt, I know your personal account is too. And it's just, dude, it sucks, man, because you can tell when that shit changes, dude.
Well, it's funny. I went to tag someone last night and I go to tag her in it and I get a pop-up that says, you cannot tag this person because they have been posting harmful information, repeatedly posting harmful information about COVID-19. And that's where we've gotten to now. Now you can't even tag people if they put stuff up anymore. And like,
is that person somebody I know?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome person. Cause I've tried to do the same.
Yeah. I think I know who it is too. I mean, dude, so what do you think about this whole social media network that Trump's trying to start, man? Is it just going to be more of the same shit? That's what I think.
Corral.
Stay away. Yep.
Controlled Don't opposition.
Go. Sort of like Getter.
That's why I kind of feel about Rockfin too. If you look back to it, it's like kind of tied into the DOD and all this, like the government. And that's why it got so big so fast. And all the conspiracy people went over there, and it just, that's why we pulled all our stuff off of there, man. We're not even going to be a part of it anymore.
Dude, I'm glad that you brought that up, Ken, because I was thinking that I wanted to get into it, but I was like, dude, I remember, you know, like the things that you had kind of mentioned about it. And I was just like, yeah, man, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like it's too good to be true. They pay you in their own crypto. I mean, what the fuck are we talking about?
Yeah, it costs money
here
to take out too. It's a big pain in the ass to get the money. And then even exchanging Ethereum, it takes, I think the one time it took us like 2 days for it to actually process and everything. Like, it's just annoying.
Well, that's not
but
too
yeah,
bad.
You can make money off it. I mean, yeah, go for it if you want to make a couple bucks, because it is good cash. I'll say that. It was pretty good money for what we were doing. But again, I'd just rather stay away from it, man. And that's what, dude, we're not even on Instagram anymore. Like, we just don't even want to be a part of the game anymore.
I was going to say, you guys have kind of not fallen silent, of course, but like, I haven't seen your presence as much lately these past few months after your break. And
yeah,
it seems like I keep thinking they must be taking a lot of nice health days for themselves.
Well, Shane ran the Instagram account. It's a lot of work and it's annoying. And he's like, dude, I want to get away from social media altogether. Like, his personal account's gone, our Black Pill's gone. He just doesn't want to be a part of it because he was really doing a lot of the work. And
damn,
I wasn't gonna
full Black Pill.
Yeah, well, I would tell you. I get it, man. I mean, good for Shane, because if he would have gave it to me to run it, I wouldn't even be doing a half as good a job as he was. So I figure if we're gonna stop it, just stop it. Don't half-ass it. Let's just get out of there then.
It's so interesting though, man, because there's this dichotomy to it. It's such a great tool to get started. I mean, Instagram, as much as I hate Facebook, I mean, Instagram is a phenomenal way to get your message out initially until you get fucking shadow banned, and then it kind of sucks. But like, I did a deep dive into Facebook and I was really looking into the shit. And dude, you see these patterns developing on such small levels. Even as much as it hurts me to say it, dude, I feel like it's going on with Patreon right now. They're about to go public. They're about to do an IPO. So they're going to be a share. You know, you're going to be able to buy shares of Patreon. I feel like it's going to be great for 5 years. And then you better get the fuck out if you're talking about the stuff that we're talking about.
We need our own internet the way we need our own land. You know what I mean? Like, we all, the same problem of getting on these platforms, which do help absolutely in the beginning, for sure. I think that's a reputable way to do it in the beginning. But like the same way with like going off grid, like whose land are you on that when you're off grid? Who'd you pay for that land?
It's God's water.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, there's not a stick of land on this continent that's not owned by someone that you'd have to pay all the time for, you know? Like, what is off grid? So I don't know if it's like completely drop out. I mean, maybe right now it's okay, but at some point, all these little signs where things are constricting, that's just leading to an absolute, you know what I mean? Eventually. Where we are not going to be allowed to do any of this stuff. So we're going to be sending carrier pigeons back and forth or something.
Yeah, right.
Because, I mean, we even looked into ham radios, but somebody owns the licensing, you know, and owns all the towers. So we have to start.
How easy is it to block that, you know, if push came to shove, right?
Satellite phones too, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. So it's like, this is the same thing that happens to everybody that like kind of wakes up or whatever, where you start to look around and go, oh my God, it's everything. It really is everything. It was all about creating our own damn world, not about letting someone else do it for us. And that's how they tricked us. They tricked us with laziness, I think. overall, it feels like
convenience. Yeah.
That. Yeah.
Right.
It feels like that, man.
Well, so they still need data, right? I mean, these companies still need data to do what they're trying to do. I think that the ultimate goal of them is to create what people may call an AI God, something that really knows everything that, like, they know what I'm going to say before I say it. They know what I'm going to want to buy before I buy it, shit like that. So they need data. So they need people on these platforms. So, I mean, like, my big question is, how do we get people, massive amounts of people, to get off of those platforms, right? You can't tell them on those platforms to get off of the platform because you're still on the platform. You can't really lead by example because then people don't see you on those platforms. I mean, so they've really put themselves in these phenomenal positions where, dude, there's nothing we can fucking do that I know of. I mean, there's got to be something.
There's a couple guys that do it pretty well. Crow777 does his. Higher Side Chats has his. I mean, but again, you got to build that base in order to come over there. But even people don't want to change. They don't want to do it. They don't want to go to a different website. It's not like you're driving across the state to go do this shit. But at the same time, too, people will pay for Netflix. They'll hate it. They'll pay for Hulu. They'll pay for all. They hate these big companies, but they can't support someone like you, the Great Deception Podcast, Deep Share. They can't give you $5 a month when they're paying all these other people, when they listen to your content. If you don't support it, it goes away. It's just like the mom and pop store down the street or the bar down the street. If you're not going there and giving them your money, they're not going to stick around, even though you may love it. Oh, it's a staple of the neighborhood. You got to support them. Just like our shows we do. If you don't support them, they're not going to stick around, man.
Well, and like you were saying, Ken, to get to that point where Crow and the Higher Side is, that's big money, right? To get your own servers and get all that stuff right up.
Yep.
You know, and Gina, I know you've gone through the rigors. How did you wiggle your way out of it?
What, social media?
With the censorship. Yeah, I mean, you have a big bullseye on your back. Everybody knows.
I do. I'm very sly about how I do things. No, we have actually used literally every single device in our house, and that in compete. That's like 4 computers, 3 iPads, all phones, and literally everything. And with like Twitter, it's 5 accounts now. And so I'm like, okay, so where's the stopping point going to be where I'm going to be like, okay, we're not going to get another device. We're not going to do, you know, get anything else that can allow me to get back on social media. Like, where is that point going to be? Because we've literally used them all now. And am I going to continue to do that? But people that know me know I talk about on my show all the time. I hate social media. Everybody that knows me well has my phone number. And so that is my means of communication with people. Like, if they want to talk to me, even people that have been guests on the show or, you know, old students or whatever, I'm like, if you need to talk to me, don't message me on social media, because very rarely am I on there, because I'm happier outside. Like, I hate spending time on any kind of devices. And podcast wise, you know, it took me over a year to figure out how to get back on Apple, and it, oh my God, it was some hoops, and it was legal jargon and all these forms that I had to fill out and all this other shit. So, you know, getting around things is fine, but like, I got a weird message from Instagram out of the blue the other day. And it was like, because you reach so many people on your account, we have changed some things so that when people look you up, they will see these. And I can't see what they changed. I have no fucking clue. I didn't even have 3,000 followers at that point. So I was like, I'm reaching a large number of people. Oh, you mean because of the posts that I made that got like 5,000 shares, and then all of a sudden I get a warning again.
We got him too with Black Bill all the time. Like, so because we had Christ. We had what 25,000 followers or something like that. So yeah, yeah. we get that crap all the time. Shane would just like screenshot it, send it to me. He goes, "Oh, we got another one, man." It's just all.
I know. I have like a running list of them tactics in my phone about the, you know, the warnings and stuff. And one of them, it didn't even. It was a picture. It didn't even have a caption on it. It was literally a person that I saw in DC, and I was like, "Well, this is a really cool outfit." And I took a picture of it, and they took it down as hate speech. And I'm like, a fucking picture
did he have a Let's Go Brandon t-shirt on?
No.
Or an American flag?
Yeah, no. No, it was nothing like that. And I was like, okay, hate speech. I seem to get nailed for hate speech a lot. That is like the biggest.
Because you're deplorable.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing that I get because, you know, like multiple times on Twitter, it was because I said something about Brian Stelter or Adam Schiff or Jim Acosta or whatnot. And so, yeah, like I got nailed for hate speech a lot. And it's like I called one of them a baboon.
Probably Brian Stelter. He looks like Bozo. That dude's like 37 years old, man. It's kind of crazy.
He looks like shit. He looks like shit.
He looks 50.
I was going to say, you know.
Hey, don't.
Hey, I'm not saying nothing wrong about 50. Janet, you look like you're 25.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's what I'm saying. Just let me finish my sentence. I wasn't done. Don't
make me come down there.
Yeah, no. You're whatever age you are. You look like you're, I'm guessing, 25. That's what I think. And Brian Stelter is 37, and he looks like he's in his 50s. He looks like it. That's
he looks older than me.
Yeah, and he does.
That's who's preaching to us about health, what we should be doing with our stuff right now. I mean,
well, and Sanjay Gupta, dude, that whole thing, I've mentioned it a few times, like on my own show. Like, dude, a medical doctor, yeah, sure, it's a neurosurgeon. He goes on to a comedian's podcast, and yeah, it's Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan's very intelligent, knows his shit. I've never seen someone get eviscerated by a layperson. I mean, this neurosurgeon, whatever he is, goes in, talks to a comedian, initiates the conversation, keeps trying to talk about vaccines, but the facts are on the comedian's side. So right. The comedian looks smarter than the goddamn neurosurgeon. There's a problem when that.
He admitted, he goes, yeah, they lied. And then he goes right back onto CNN and basically backsteps everything he said. So they tripling down on it. Like, it's just one big game because no one even looks up anything because they, again, they're taught to listen, not actually think.
Well, they're taught to memorize.
It's a cult. So,
and since it's repetitive, that's exactly what they're doing, is memorization of what the news media says.
Exactly.
There's got to be some sort of control, like mind controlled aspect to that, dude. Like, there's got to be. These people are so indoctrinated, and sure, money probably plays a part of this, right? Mm-hmm. But like, dude, how does Gupta go back on CNN and, like Ken said, double down on just being like, no, Joe Rogan's a fucking idiot?
Well, because he gets paid to do so. I mean,
he's an actor.
He makes a lot of money to spout his bullshit on CNN.
But how don't people see that is my real point, I guess.
Because these are the same people that worship Fauci, my man.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, these people are so gone that like someone said earlier, you could put the truth right in front of them. They are not going to see it because it goes against their belief.
Right. Yeah. And that's another kind of like one of those, like what I said earlier is, you have to have something affect you directly to understand it. And so to understand how literally little doctors know, you have to have been in the medical field or have to have been, you know, worked with them in some capacity or another. And then you actually see how utterly brilliant the people around them are, but they're not.
Well,
and
it's
that
not,
is yeah, sorry, 99, that's 99% of the medical community.
It's not just the medical community. It's every single job that's out there, because the higher people move up in each field, the less they know about what the actual frontline workers go through.
Right,
my dumb little job, which is just merchandising, doing sales for a major beverage company. I was talking with two of my bosses today. They're both really nice dudes. One was he's fairly high up in this massive company that trades on the New York Stock Exchange, right? Mm-hmm. And then someone directly below him, they were having a hard time trying to figure out how to reroute these routes, because like the way that we do it, we hit like 4 to 5 stops a day. They're mm-hmm. trying to get it down to 3 to 4 stops, and they just couldn't figure out how to, you know, set this whole thing up, and they royally fucked it up last year. I mean, it's a shit show. Some people are making like $80,000 for sales, and some people are making 30, and they try to make it as even as possible, but they can't figure out something as simple as that just because they haven't been on the front lines right. for, you know, 10 years. So how do you think Fauci is? That dude hasn't touched a patient in 40 exactly. years, 50 years, who knows how
Thank
long.
Thank God.
Well, that's like letting Pete Buttigieg be head of the Department of Transportation, right? I mean, the guy had no experience at all, but he's a good face for the queer community, and we'll throw him out there and give him a high position that he knows nothing about. And then when it's time for him to work, he's going to go on paternity leave.
He's the white Obama, dude. He really is CIA funded, 100%.
No, definitely.
Yeah, that dude doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. It's weird. It's very weird.
It's what they always do. It's what they've always done. So it's not even that weird anymore to me. That's like when they do it. Or can you believe he's on paternity leave? Can you believe they put this guy in? It's like they've been doing it forever, man. It's not even surprising to me anymore. It's just more surprising people don't see it. You know,
but you right. got to admit, Ken, it's so much weirder than it ever has been right now. It's getting exponentially weird.
Well, it's like they're begging us to see it. It's they're yeah. begging. So that's it's weird, man. It feels like they're coming out with all of it. Is that a weird sense of arrogance? Like, they don't even notice. Or is it trying to wake people up? These people have been too careful about everything for so long. Yet now it's just it's everywhere.
I think it's arrogance, but I also think that they have to tell you what they're doing. So it's like that karma shit.
Yeah, so the karmatic guy.
Yeah, so it's like
I don't think they believe in karma, though. I don't think they believe in karma because we're talking about the same people that did the Gateway experience.
Well, that's a rule of the universe. Documents.
You know what I mean? Yeah, but it's misunderstood on our level as some moral obligation. That's a very human concept. We put that right on. We do that a lot. We personalize these concepts that are very abstract sure. and not human. You know what I mean? We do it with aliens constantly. We do it with the simulation theory. To me, that's consciousness doing it. But simulation theory, everybody thinks Matrix, everybody thinks computers, everybody thinks tech, Terminator, yeah. you know, it's a psyop. It's
yeah, the AI, they think that like the machines are going to be like personified. And it's like, no, they're going right. to be something way different than people are. So I don't know, man. I was just saying, I think that even for everyone that thinks that, yeah, this shit has been going on for a long time. And I agree with that concept for sure. I mean, you know, probably since the inception of this country, but it is so in your fucking face right now.
It is
that yeah. there is something there's something to the in your face. Fuck you. We're making gas prices go up. We're taking food away. I bought some steaks from Walmart the other day that were double the price and half the quality. They tasted like mm-hmm. fucking shit. They used to actually have some decent steaks like ribeyes and stuff at Walmart. They used to be okay, like just as little as like a month ago. Yeah, it's not Wagyu beef and shit like that, but I mean, it was decent. Like you could eat it. It tastes like I was fucking chewing on my shoe this last thing. And instead of like a $7 steak from Walmart, it was $14. So this shit is in your face. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, I'm not inciting here. I'm just like, when the fuck do we change this shit, dude? It's fucking, it's weird.
It's coming, I think.
It's like the balkanization of America they're trying to do. You know what I mean? With yeah. Texas seceding, Florida seceding. It's like the same shit that happened to the USSR, man.
And this was written into the SPARS yeah. thing or whatever, the Rockefeller lockstep thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
They want it to break up. That's the whole point. This was an experiment of some kind, or at least it was once it was infiltrated. Maybe we did have some good guys at that beginning trying to do what the good guys have always been trying to do since the ancient times with these asshole parasites, you know. But I think this time, because we have so much history that we remember, maybe we have an upper hand to really just get them out of our lives eventually, perhaps. And I don't know what that looks like with this many people. And
well,
change is painful.
Dude, this is my last thought, but like to touch on what Ken just said, you sparked something that I actually had a fucking dream about this last night, about the USSR and the United States following the same steps as the USSR. It was this massive empire that broke into a bunch of pieces. I feel like the United States is going to break up, whether it's 50 states, whether it's 20 regions, 10 regions, maybe 13 colonies again. I had a dream literally last night that the country broke up into several different pieces. Each one was their own country. And I felt like I wanted to go out and buy like a globe that has the United States all as one thing. Because I think in the very near future, possibly in our lifetimes, we're going to see the United States, every single one of those things. Like, let's say on a globe that the United States is the color pink. Instead of the whole thing being pink, it's all going to be like pink, orange, blue, purple, like all these different states, just like the countries are broken up throughout the rest of the world. Kind of like how Africa looks. The United States itself, I think, will look like that. There will be different countries.
Are they going to be FEMA zones?
I don't know if they'll be FEMA zones. That's very interesting. That's an interesting concept, right? I mean, like it could be. What is that, 12 or 13 that they have?
Something like that. I remember from your podcast looking at the map, and yeah, it's something like that. Anywhere from 8 to 13 different zones.
Yeah, Federal Reserve banks like line up right along with that shit. So I mean, like those banking, like the central banks could be where, like, you know, coinciding with all these areas. But no, I mean, I think that it could possibly even go as down as far as like the state level. You know, there may be 50 countries that break up into this. What do we have, like 94 countries in the world right now? Or I don't know exactly what the number is.
I thought it was like 118 or something like that.
I'm not sure at all. Someone could probably Google that. But yeah, it's just very interesting to me. You know what I mean? That I think that we may be seeing nearly double the countries by the end of this, by the end of our lifetimes, by the end of this generation. I think that it'll be very interesting to see where we end up, man. But that was my last thought.
But what about maybe it'll all be one color on those globes, because isn't that where they want to take it? They kind of wanted to eventually, like, so I think this breaking up of the U.S. is like just a stage, you know, that's just part of it. Because eventually it's already true behind closed doors that like governments and nations like don't even really exist anymore. They kind of told us that, right, in that movie Network back in the 70s. Excuse me. So it's like, that's just coming out now in the open, and it's going to physically happen now, but it's already like been going on for a long time where they think in corporations all around the world. Yeah. And like the nations of the worlds are fading in their eyes. So it's like,
yeah,
it's just a stage towards that one world system. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 195 countries right now. So,
damn.
Yeah, that's literally triple almost what I thought. So it's insane, man. I mean, I think that we'll be seeing more countries develop. Well, so
yeah, and it's funny you said that, Andy, about the companies, because the other day I saw a map of the United States, and basically what it had was each state had its biggest corporation as like the state flag, and mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that's interesting. They're basically saying, okay, if the companies ran it, this is who your governor would be, you know? So oh, yeah. Out west, they'd have Nike and
like the old company towns that failed miserably and ruined everyone's lives.
Yeah. Where they pay you in what, company bucks, right? You spend it at the company store. And
Dave and Buster's, dude, Always Sunny in Philadelphia had a great episode about that.
Power card, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. No, yeah, I don't know. Crazy.
All right. Anybody got anything else? I think that's a great time to wrap it up. We're going on about an hour and a half here, and I think we hit some good stuff tonight. I really appreciate it, guys. Let's go around the horn and share your socials and what you want to get out there so people can get in touch with you, if you want people to get in touch with you.
I guess I'll start. We don't have social media anymore for Black Pill, so you can check me out at Kenny K. That's K-I-N-N-Y-K. Check out our podcast. We're on all the major platforms. Yeah, I think we got like 89 episodes. So check it out. You'll find something good you like.
Damn show.
You can find me at the Deep Share Podcast on the social media for now, but I think I feel inspired. So, that's pretty much it. I got a new podcast coming out on 11/11, which is Roots of Creation. That'll be fun. So check that out. And I'm doing every other Friday. I'm doing a joint thing with Emmanuel Kingman from the Godcast, Goodness Over Darkness podcast. We're doing a jam called Worship in the Storm Friday nights at 9 o'clock live on YouTube. So check it out. And thanks for having me, man. This was awesome.
Oh, yeah, thanks for coming.
Hell yeah.
I'll go next.
Yeah. Go ahead, Janet.
Okay. My podcast, Deplorable Nation, you can find me on all podcast platforms now, as well as Alt Media United and actualactivist.com. You can find me on Instagram at at Deplorable Janet, and Twitter is at No Janet, KNOW.
Dope. Well, that leaves me, I guess, before Matt cleans up. Dangerous World Podcast, always a big honor to talk with all of you guys. Matt, thanks for bringing us all together, as always, dude. This is always such a good time. So
my pleasure, guys. Like I said, thank you.
Of course, dude. On the all the major platforms, patreon.com/dangerousworld and dangerousworldstore.com. got the hoodies and all that good shit going too, so fun stuff. And I can't wait to talk to again.
And I will back up Ryan's wardrobe. His t-shirts are top notch.
Oh, thank you.
I got about a dozen of them, and I'm you just reminded me, I got to order a hoodie. So yeah, definitely, dude. You put out quality stuff. It's not like some of these people got cheap merch. They're actually really good shirts.
Thank you, dude. I try to give the money back guarantees too. If anything gets fucked up, I replace.
Oh yeah, and you did, man. I had one out of all the ones that got screwed up, and you ended up sending me like two. I think you didn't even have to do it, but hey, I appreciate it.
Of course, I appreciate the business.
So please support everybody on here, guys. Like we said before, we're not making any money off this. So if you could just share, support, donate if you can, it'd be greatly appreciated. And you can find me at the Great Deception Podcast. And I have a YouTube channel too there with some playlists you can go check out. I don't have a lot of videos, but they'll be coming. Other than that, we're going to wrap it tonight. Thanks for joining us. And everyone,
Matt, real quick, Matt, do you have a way that they can donate to your show? Like a PayPal?
I'm not doing it yet. No, I'm not doing anything yet. I'll get something set up here in the future. But yeah, I've been just trying to get some material out first and actually earn it before I come out there grifting with my hands out in front. But
yeah, you're kicking ass, man. You're doing a great job. We're loving the show, dude.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, but like I said, I mean, we pay to do this, right? I mean, we have to pay for different stuff. So, and not let alone all the research and time and stuff that we do for these shows. But on the other hand, we all love doing it, or we wouldn't be doing it, right? So on that side. But the people that, like you said, Ken, the people that are watching this, you will pay $15 and then bitch about Netflix. Why not donate that $15 to your three favorite podcasts? That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Help out everybody, because we're not getting big sponsorships. I'm a little guy, so anything helps. And share. Leave reviews. Like Ryan said many times, how hard is it to click the goddamn star button and leave a smiley face or a review? It's not that hard. And it goes a long way to getting us in the algorithm and getting us to more ears. And that's what this is all about, is letting people hear us and sharing ideas. And if we can just change one person each, we're doing the domino effect, and it's going to pay off in the long run. So thanks again, guys. I really appreciate it. And I hope to have you all back. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for having us.